What an incredible, incredible blessing. Wow. You may be seated. I'm so honored to be here. It makes it so easy when you come to people whose lives actually are the epitome of certain things that we would have. I think that Pastor Dave and Pastor Kim, they are just the epitome of humility. Really. I think, you know, if you know how you have certain people that are just multi-gifted and multi-talented, if you looked almost, I think, in Heaven's dictionary for humility, I think that you would find their picture. Amen. And also excellence. Yes. They don't do things in a shabby way. They are people of excellence. Thank you for the excellence that you model for the glory of the kingdom of God. Thank you for modeling generosity. Wow, in such an incredible way. They are generous, generous people, and what an incredible blessing. Wow. And it takes a gift. I mean, I know some people that can't even stay together for 42 weeks. This is not anything to sneeze at. This is something to be celebrated. The goodness of God, and we've seen the growth of God, the blessings of God. This is proof positive that this thing works. No, it really, really is. And so I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. But I want to talk to you today from the book of Psalm, chapter 71. It's a psalm of David, and verse 15 through verse 21. You'll notice there these words that all day long, David says, I will tell you the wonderful things that you do to save your people. But you have done much more than I could possibly know. I will praise you, Lord God, for your mighty deeds and your power to save. You have taught me since I was a child, and I never stop telling about your marvelous deeds. Don't leave me when I'm old and my hair turns gray. Let me tell future generations about your mighty power. Your deeds of kindness are known in the heavens. No one is like you. You made me suffer a lot, but you will bring me back from this deep pit and give me new life. You will make me truly great and take my sorrow away. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And I'm speaking today simply from the subject, what legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you leaving? This is really about King David, and he didn't just have an easy life. I want you to realize life has its ups and downs. Have you ever been to a hospital room and seen a person hooked up to all kinds of machines? And one of the things that you see is this thing go beep, beep, beep. Life is a collection of both hills and valleys. And hills and valleys, and hills and valleys. I know you would love for everything to just be chill and calm all the time, but you really don't want to be flatlined. It is a sign that you are alive and that God is with you when he's with you when you feel on top of the mountain and some days when you feel like you're down in the valley. David said that he had been in both places. But I tell you this, if you are in the valley, that's not the time to quit. Because what follows a valley is another mountain. You can't go from mountaintop to mountaintop. The shortest distance to get to the next mountain is down through the valley. It's the waters that's up on the mountain that flows down in the valley that makes the ground so fertile. You see, the mountains give us perspectives, but the valleys mature us. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't take anything from my valley experiences. Your valley experiences are the thing that make you who you are. It's the thing that actually will prove whether or not your relationship with God is true or not. It's not that he's just God of the mountain. He's God just as much when you're in the valley. God was just as much a God for David while he was tending sheep as he was when he was sitting on the throne. But just rest assured that if you feel like you're in a valley experience, just hold on because another mountain awaits you. You do know that God is for you, don't you? I just believe it with all of my heart. But it's the question that I'm asking to you today is, what legacy are you leaving? 34 years ago, I started putting billboards, maybe 12, 15 billboards, big billboards around the city of Atlanta. And I asked this question on the billboard, what legacy are you leaving? What legacy are you leaving? Now, I'm a young man. I was in my 20s when I started doing this. In my 20s. But the reason that I start asking about what legacy are you leaving is because my daddy at that time was about 70. And you've got to start where you are. And it's, I wanted to start thinking about where I was going, you know. And the thing is this, is that whenever you start somewhere, you have to ask this question, how do I want to be remembered? How do I want to be remembered? And I want you to think about this. Legacy is more than just about you. Legacy at its deep core is about his story being expressed down through your story. How do you use whatever you have gone through in your life to point to the fact that Jesus is Lord and victorious and is glorious, and that he is healer and lawyer, doctor, that he's a comforter? We want to be able to express his story through our story. It's about him. It's really not about us. I mean, if you've met somebody of great notoriety, wouldn't it be silly for you to just be talking about your name when the one that you really are excited about, you know, is it got a bigger reputation than yours? I mean, suppose some of you of my generation, you know, I grew up in the Michael Jackson generation. You know, if I went out and had dinner with Michael Jackson, you know, I wouldn't be talking about what I did. I want to talk about what he said. If I had dinner with Elvis Presley, I wouldn't be talking about what I was in. I'd tell you what he ate. And I would tell you the content of his story, what we chatted about. I would talk about that. And so when you're talking about, it's actually his story that is expressed through our story. What legacy are you leaving? I mean, my wife and I, we were invited by Julio Iglesias over to Italy and then to Israel. I mean, we had dinner with him. Now, it didn't matter anything about who we were and what we did, because we were with somebody who was known around the world. This man was like a superstar. And we were sitting at dinner with him, and my wife asked him, she said, how did you get into singing? I had never heard this part of his testimony before, but he said to us this. He said, I was a champion soccer player. That's all that I ever dreamed of being and doing. And he said, I sustained a very deadly injury that left him paralyzed from the waist down for 2 years. While he's on his hospital bed trying to recuperate, somebody brings a guitar to him. And they said, well, while you're here trying to recuperate, you may as well do something with your time and teach yourself how to play this thing. And there he started working and doing it, and then they came back to see him, and all of a sudden he had mastered the guitar. And then they said to him these words, well, you ought to try to sing something. And the rest is history. And he sings in 7 different languages. And so you see, our experience that had nothing to do with me. It's about his story that was expressed through our story. And as we live this earth, I know you have hard times and God has rescued us. I mean, we've got testimonies of how he saved us in car accidents, how he's raised us from sickness and on all of these things, how he's helped us with our children when we thought we were going to kill them. And God has been faithful, but it's really not so much about us. It's about his story. Our legacy is how do we preserve his story. David was saying, God, don't let me die. Don't let me get gray-headed and die before I'm able to show your power to another generation. Let me tell them about you. It's not about me. Let me tell, even though I'm king, but don't let me die without telling them about you. We ought to be able to live our lives in such a way that our grandchildren, my wife and I have 18 grandchildren and two more on the way that'll be here before the end of this year. This is bigger than us. Our legacy is sometime that you've got to be able to plant a seed that will grow a tree under which you may never sit under its shade. That's legacy. It is being able to say, Lord, I'm going to be a part of something that outlives me. Legacy is not about the past. Legacy is about everything that you set in motion. It blesses my heart to see the beauty of young people filled with music and energy and dance, being able to express to me. It says that Church on the Rock will continue to live as a testimony of Jesus Christ from the faithfulness of a man and a woman that said yes to God. And that realized that even when they were having a hard time and struggling in the beginning years, they realized that God was for them. In the same way that God is for you. What legacy are you leaving? Here's what legacy is. Legacy is the spiritual, moral, material, and generational impact that a person leaves behind through their faithfulness to God, their obedience to His word, and the fruit of their life that continues to influence others after they're gone. It's just something there to remember and remind us. Legacy in Scripture is like a river. It is something that flows from one generation to the next. From generation, it's like legado. It's actually has to do with the flowing of a river that carries the memory of God's faithfulness and the imprint of a life that is well lived. It's like a river. It's something that flows out from you that keeps on going. But here's the deal. Legacy is not automatic. It is intentionally transmitted. You have to intentionally transmit legacy. Children just don't get things automatically. You have to be intentional. My God, what a gift this ministry is to you to be able to give you the Dave Ramsey program free for a year. What a gift. I hope that you realize the blessing of that. Let me just tell you this. A young man that I started mentoring, he was 9 years old, Mexican. And he ended up marrying my second daughter. And he had to pay for the Dave Ramsey program. He's my son-in-law now, and he works for me. And he and my daughter have a 5-bedroom home. They're in their 30s. But his 5-bedroom home is completely paid off, and I didn't give him a dime for it. He learned some things through the Dave Ramsey program. I hope you realize the gift that's been given to you. You ought to celebrate the generous heart of a leader that had the vision and the mindset to be able to say, listen, this is... That's equipment, that's empowering you, it's endowing you, it's enabling you to be able to do some incredible things, and I'm just here to just celebrate the goodness of God in your life so that you can realize it. And so legacy is not automatic, it's intentional. And this is how it started off with intentionality in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Notice, you know, God was telling Moses, he said, listen, you shall teach these things diligently to your children. Teach them diligently, intently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up, because you know children have a gift of ignoring you. And sometimes when you talk to your children, you don't know whether they're listening or not. And sometimes we are just pleasantly surprised to discover, you know what, that they were listening to me when I didn't even know that they were listening to me. And what an incredible blessing that is, because there are so many other things to distract them with social media, with digital distractions, that we have to have some intentionality that where we shall teach them diligently to your children, because somebody else is in their ears and before their eyes all the time. And so he said, that's why you ought to do it while you're sitting in your house, while you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You ought to learn the blessing of the table, to be able to get the family together and turn off the digital distractions. And sometimes, you know, I would say, you know, to my children, you know, listen, whoever picks up their telephone is gonna pay the tab. That worked like a charm to keep the phones in their place so that we can have an opportunity to be able to discuss the things of God and how God's blessings and what the meaning of the word of God has in our life, and to say, what is God doing to you? What is God saying in your life and in your world? What a marvelous opportunity to be able to use the power of the table to be able to remind us of the goodness of God. You see, legacy is not just a singular type of thing. Legacy, it's not just wealth, it's wealth and wisdom. You wouldn't want them to have wealth without any wisdom anyway. Legacy is wealth and wisdom. Legacy includes possessions, but it also includes principles. Because if you got stuff, if you got power but no principles, you are a destructive force. Legacy, it is more than just monuments. It's monuments and the multiplication of godly influence. It's monuments and multiplication. This building is a monument. But it's really, its greatest power is the multiplication of godly influence every time someone surrenders to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every time somebody discovers their purpose on the inside of them to say that God wants me to be a businessman, a businesswoman, that God wants me to go into politics, that God, you see, I mean, these are calls of where you realize the purposes of God expressed out in the world. Legacy, hear me carefully. Legacy is where success and destiny meet but don't compete. Legacy, it is where success and destiny meet, but they don't compete. Legacy is remembered obedience. It is remembered obedience. Legacy is remembered obedience. You know why it's remembered so beautifully? In Hebrews 11 that we call the Hall of Fame of Faith, it wasn't a remembrance of their disobedience. It was a remembrance of their obedience. Isn't it wonderful that God will remember your obedience? And I'm so glad that he didn't give us just a whole book listing all of their failures. But they had to come through something, and they had to be challenged to where it cost them something. But legacy is about remembered obedience. It's about remembered obedience. By faith, Abraham did so and so. By faith, Sarah did this. By faith, the harlot did this. It's telling you as an act of their own faith, it's actually remembered obedience. So when somebody says, you know, I remember so and so, that becomes a legacy of your faith, is your obedience that you did to God. And legacy is covenant continuity. It is covenant continuity. The way you've made a covenant with God, you are a covenant people. You come here because you're in covenant with God. You're in covenant to be able to worship him. You're in covenant with your tithes and offering committed to him. God is a God of covenant. The covenant doesn't just start with mama and dad. It goes down to the children and the grandchildren. It started before you. It's covenant continuity. You see, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, notice what he says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I'm not going to leave your family out, and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Make a covenant with God is the best way to ensure that God will take care of your children. They can look like they are wayward and away from God, but I'm telling you, God will send goodness and mercy after them. It may look like they're living for the devil, like they're living in rebellion against God, but listen, that's not how the story will end, because God is a God of covenant. God will reach down and get your granddaughter and your grandson because he will remember the faithfulness of your prayers. Sometimes your giving, your sacrifice to God will say that because of that, I will remember your son and your daughter. I will redeem them from the hand of the enemy, and I will use them for the glory of God. Godly legacy is when you live in such a way that others love God more because you lived. That's a godly legacy. It's when others are able to love God more because you lived. They're able to love God more just because you live. So you build something that helps others to stand taller. You have to realize that your legacy is about passing on faith. It's about passing on character. It's about passing on values. It's about passing on truth. You let your life become a bridge through which others can then walk into their promised land. Your life ought to be a bridge where the continuity of the life and the bridge is also the thing that connects them to generational blessings. So even if nobody was able to do things positively in your family until now, thank God that you are the one that will shift the destiny of your family. Because sometimes you might be the first one in your family who was able to keep their marriage together. Because sometimes divorce is a spirit that will attack a family and run rampant through the family. And maybe if you'll be faithful to God, God will say, if you'll do this, I will break the spirit of divorce in your family. I will break alcoholism in your family. I will break drug addiction in your family. I will break starting and stopping in your family. I'll give them the ability to be able to be diligent and to put their hand to the plow and not look back, but be faithful unto God. God will honor your family. I'm just telling you, all he needs is a bridge. Just a connector that if you know God and if they don't know God, all you have to do is just touch them and then touch God and power will flow through you. Inheritance is what you leave behind, but legacy is who you leave it with. It's left to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. Let me give you a little acronym for legacy. Let's look at an acrostic here. The L is to live with long view purpose. This is not just about something for tomorrow and about next week. This is long view purpose. So set your aim beyond the horizon, because a legacy begins where today's choices will shake hands with tomorrow's generation. Today's choices will shake hands with tomorrow's generation. The E is to equip others to rise. This is an equipping church. It equips others to rise. Rising in business, rising in your ministry, rising in your anointing, rising in your prayer life, rising in your faithfulness to God. It equips others to rise. You pour into people, you teach them, you mentor them, you model for them, because a legacy is not what you keep. Legacy is about what you release. You have to release legacy. The G is to guard your integrity. Guard your integrity. Because character is the vault that protects your influence. Character is the vault that protects your influence. The A is to align your life with God's word. Align your life with God's word. Because a life anchored in Scripture always leaves a shoreline of stability for those who are coming behind you. Align your life with God's word. That's a part of legacy. The C is to cultivate compassion and courage. Cultivate compassion and courage. Compassion softens the ground and courage plants the seed. And together they grow a forest that your descendants will be able to enjoy. And the oxygen that the forest relieves allows them to be able to breathe easier. The why is to yield to God's daily leading. Yield to God's daily leading. A surrendered life becomes a signpost. And the more you yield, the more God builds. The more you yield, the more God builds. The more you yield to God, the way that he leads you daily, the more you yield, the more God builds things that you could never engineer on your own. Legacy is not about applause. It's about assignment. It's about an assignment that outlives you. Legacy begins with a call that you cannot shake. What is it that you feel that comes from God as a call that you cannot shake? You remember when God set a bush on fire just to get Moses' attention? And that Moses said, I must turn aside and see this sight. And then there came a voice, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes. Because there, it begins with a calling that you cannot shake. God just began to call him. It began to call him. Legacy is not formed in palaces, but legacy is formed under pressure. This didn't start because it was easy. is started when it was hard. Legacies are formed under pressure. And, you know, so I want to ask you, what are some of the burning bush moments in your own life? It may not be as dramatic as Moses' burning bush experience was, where the bush was set on fire and he turned aside. But sometimes for us, they're the whispers of the Holy Spirit in your heart. They're the gentle nudgings that God will put in your spirit. Have you ever had it where God just laid a burden on you? You have said something like that, God laid you on my heart, or he laid you on my mind. What is God laying on you that is sort of like your burning bush type of thing? It comes out of a calling, out of a burden. Before a vision is birthed, a burden is carried or born. You have to bear a burden before you can birth a vision. Every vision is born out of a burden. Every vision is born out of a burden. And I just want to give you some practical ways. Here are some practical ways that you can build a godly legacy. Just some practical ways. Your pastor, Pastor David, is an amazing, very clear teacher. What a gift of God it is to have somebody who's able to solidly teach the Word of God in your heart. Here's some practical ways that you can build a godly legacy. Number one is to live a life that whispers God's character and shouts God's faithfulness. You live a life that whispers God's character and shouts God's faithfulness. You don't have to be loud to leave a legacy. You just have to be consistent. Just be consistent. Legacy grows in the quiet repetitions of righteousness. The quiet repetitions of righteousness. When you pray consistently, when you pray when you don't feel like it, when you read the Word when you don't feel like it, when you get up and go to church even when it's raining outside, even when it's cold, it's the quiet consistency. Live a life that whispers God's character and shouts God's faithfulness if you want to leave a legacy. Number two, let your home become a discipleship center. Let your home become a discipleship center. Legacy is often built between meals and moments. Never neglect the power of food on the table and the conversations that can be had, where you talk about each other's life and what's going on in their world, and they can be face-to-face and fully present. Let your home become a discipleship center. That's where real disciples are made, are right in the matrix of the home. And the church is designed to reinforce and to equip you for what you do in your home. Here's number three, steward well the resources that God has placed in your hand. If you want to be able to live a legacy, you must steward well the resources that God has placed in your hand. The resources of your voice, your vision, your vocation, your job, your valuables, the things of worth, your treasure. Steward those resources well that God has placed in your hand. That's a vital part of being able to cultivate a godly legacy. Here's number four, walk in repentance and humility. Walk in repentance and humility. I want you to think about this. Jesus didn't just die for you one time for your sins. I mean, he finished an eternal work, but it is a perpetual grace that happened on the cross. Do you think that the first time that you received Jesus Christ and he washed away your sins and you receive him and you realize that I'm saved now, I'm forgiven, do you think that he's going to crawl back up on the cross when you miss the mark again? No, no, no. That was a perpetual work of his grace. A perpetual work of his grace. So you walk in repentance and humility. Humility softens the ground so that other folks don't have to stumble over your pride. It softens the ground. Walk in repentance and humility. Walk in repentance and humility, because a repentant parent, a repentant leader, leaves a stronger legacy than a perfect one. When they say, listen, The Lord had to forgive me. I have missed the mark. When you're authentic enough to be honest enough to say, I was a wretch undone. God had to pick me up and redeem me because I was off track. I was wild as I don't know what. And if he could save me, when you own your unrighteousness, because if you don't own it, you cannot disown it. So you have to own it and said, and such were some of you. The Apostle Paul went down and he said, and such, all of the folks that got all sanctified and everything, he said, listen, he went down to some scriptures and talked about some terrible sin. He said, and such were some of you. So when you own your testimony, you make other people who are flawed and who have messed up realize there's hope for me. We are all people that are beautifully broken, that God, in our brokenness, that he puts us back together in such a way that reminds me of the Japanese kintsugi bowls, where the cracks that are in the bowl have been filled in with gold. And what looked like a brokenness now comes as an element of beauty, that he fills in the cracks, because we are crackpots. And he's filled it in with gold, the deity of God, the grace of God. Here's number five, practice generosity that reflects heaven's economy. Practice generosity. You're talking about leaving a godly legacy? Practice generosity that reflects heaven's economy, not what's happening in the United States. Not what's happening, you know, as a result of government shutdowns and the instability of what's going on there. No. Practice heaven's generosity. Sometimes God will tell you to give at a time that you have least amount to give. You remember the widow's mite? She cast in 2 pence. And the Bible says Jesus went over and sat by the treasury, not to see what they were giving, but to see how they were giving. Because God loves a cheerful giver. Somebody that can give hilariously. And somebody that can give even when they don't have a whole lot. And you know, the folks came in, big money spenders, you know, big, heavyweights, throwing in big money. Jesus was not impressed by them. The one that he was impressed with, he said, see that woman there with the 2 pence? She's put in more than all. You know why? Because they only gave a fraction of what they had. She gave 100% of what she had. She gave out of her need. She gave out of her desperation. Because she says, Lord, I'm going for broke this time. Because I don't have anything. And so I'm giving you everything I've got. I'm trusting you with everything I have. You practice generosity that reflects heaven's economy, where you give freely, you serve joyfully, and you love sacrificially. Here's number six. Invest intentionally in the next generation. Invest intentionally in the next generation. I love to see what's happening with young people here. There is such a youthful vibe in this church, such energy. Share your wisdom. Tell the stories of the testimonies of what God has done in your life and in the lives of others. Answer questions for them. Share with them how things were back in the day before you had internet. But tell them what life was like before cell phones were there. And you know, you had to talk in the kitchen with a cord that came and tell them how you were courting in the house and your mama answered the telephone. Share those stories. Let them know how Jesus had to work in the midst of all of that. But legacy is never selfish. It's always generational. Moses didn't cling to power. He began to prepare the next generation because he brought Joshua alongside of him. Elijah brought Elisha alongside of them. Paul brought Timothy on beside him. Elizabeth had Mary. You got to have somebody in the wings that you're bringing alongside of you to invest in the next generation. Here's number seven. Keep your heart anchored in eternity. Keep your heart anchored in eternity, because legacy is not about being remembered. Legacy is about making God unforgettable to those who follow. Your legacy is not about just making you be remembered. It's about making God be unforgettable in the lives of those who follow. So even if they don't know anything else, you say, listen. And see, I've tried to teach my own children. I don't want to just merely teach them what I know. I want to teach them on the God that I had to depend on when I didn't know. because they're going to meet situations and they're not going to have it in a manual and in a book, and something is going to happen in the world and they're not going to know what in the world to do. And I've taught them as best I've known how that, Lord, when I don't know what to do, my eyes are on you. I look to you, Jesus, to depend upon him. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. And if you withdraw yourself from me, Lord, where on earth would I go? And that's what it's all about. I close with this story in Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 9, that while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume and made of pure nard, and she broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. And some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her sharply. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you have with you, always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. Notice that. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. What's important about this woman taking something so valuable? Can you imagine a relatively wage worker taking something worth a year's wage? Think about what you make for a year. Think about this hourly worker who takes her annual salary and invests it on the body of Jesus. It's really the church. What's the significance of this? And the scriptures went on to say that, he said, wherever the gospel is preached in verse 9, throughout the world, what she has done will be told of her in memory of her. It will be told in memory that wherever the gospel is preached, that's why I tell you this today. We bring the gospel to remind you. Jesus said, what this woman has done, let it be told wherever. It became a memorial. A legacy. We don't even know, he didn't even mention her name, but she mentioned what she did so that we could learn and make it applicable to our lives, wherever and whoever we are. What's the significance of this? This woman would take perfume, expensive perfume, because you know, if you got cheap perfume, it's like toilet, you know, agua de toilette. It lasts about 2 to 4 hours. But the expensive perfume, it'll last for weeks and months. And so they would take really expensive perfume and wouldn't put it directly on the clothes. They put it on a handkerchief and pin it to their clothes so that the fragrance would last. So this woman didn't give him something that was going to evaporate before he could get to the cross. She's anointing his body. And when Jesus is going up the Via Doloroso, and there's so much pain, and he's bleeding, and he's in agony. And he's wondering when he's feeling like the whole world is turned against him. And all of a sudden, as he inhales, he's reminded somebody loves me. He's going up, and he falls down, and Simon comes in and is ordered to help him carry his cross because it became too heavy for him. Because of the trauma that he had endured and the beating that he had gone through. And in the midst of that, when he feels like the whole world is against me, he realizes somebody loves me. It was her extravagant gift. Little did she know that a sacrifice that she would make would change the course of history. And Jesus would put her in his writings and say, listen, wherever the gospel is preached in all of the world, tell them about this woman. Let it be done in memory of her. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, but you want to know him, what great legacy it is to just be able to say that I was wrong, but I surrendered to Jesus. Nobody drowns because they fall into the water. You only drown because you stay there. This is your day to say, I'm coming up out of this. And when I come up out of it, as he redeems me out of my sin, my children, my grandchildren, my nieces, my nephews, my cousins, somebody's going to be inspired because of what God did in and through you. And if you've never received Jesus, if your life is off course and you realize I'm out of fellowship with Jesus Christ, I want you to just say these words with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. Thank you for the gift of Jesus who comes into my heart and forgives all of my sin. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, given for me for the rest of my life. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that, welcome to the family of God. We celebrate what God is doing in you, through you, and for you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, my question to you is, what legacy are you leaving? This is Legacy Sunday. This is a special gift that you make from your own heart over and above your tithes to the house of God that makes a difference, a church that is making a difference. You can only make this investment on the body of Christ just as that woman poured that perfume on the body. She poured it on his head that flowed down to his body. It became a memorial. It was a legacy to her. Today, I've spoken to you about that legacy, but now is your turn to create your legacy. A fragrance of something that will forever be on the body of Christ. No sacrifices ever missed. As ushers are coming and getting in place, this is your opportunity to be able to just ask God, Lord, what is my sacrificial legacy gift today? Sacrifice is giving up something good in order to get something better. But it's really, you only sacrifice for what you love. It's what the word means, sacrificiae. To offer or to perform the sacred because of who you love. Sacrificiae means to perform literally the sacred for who you love. Today, what a wonderful privilege it is to be able on this Legacy Sunday, celebrating 42 years of the goodness of God, the redemption of God, the grace of God, the power of God, not only for you. And this really is not, this is bigger than you. This is about your family. And whether you realize it or not, families are under attack. Marriages are under attack. But there's something about a sacrifice that can break the power of the enemy over your life and over your household. Today, as you release your gift with faith, you watch what God will do. And I look forward to seeing and hearing the testimonies pour back into this church of what incredible things that God does out of your sacrifice, of your legacy gift today. I want to pray, and then we will bless it in Jesus' name. Father, we prepare to surrender our gifts to you. You, the giver of every good and perfect gift, Lord, thank you that you're the God of covenant. And I thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the hand of the enemy, that you will stay his hand, God, and that as we release seed today, sacrificial seed into your kingdom, I pray blessings upon the lives of your precious people today. I pray, God, that you will give them godly ideas, that you will give them boldness and strength and courage, God, for many of them, Father, to launch out in business. For some of them who are in business, Father, to be able to have a God idea infused into their thinking. Speak to them in visions of the night. And I pray that you will expand them on every hand, on the left hand and on the right hand. Do something that will amaze them, Father, and realize that surely this is the finger of God, and that only this is by God's power and for His glory. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that everything that has gone awry in the name of Jesus, we consecrate our own lives, our families, our destinies. We consecrate them to You today, and we submit them, Lord, to You and ask You to breathe upon them, to give us Your wisdom, Your guidance, Your direction, and Your deliverance. And I pray in the name of Jesus that in humble submission and obedience in our hearts, God, as we surrender in this legacy offering today, that You will cause manifold blessings to come back into the lives of Your people, to where it will be such a testimony that they will say and know that surely this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. Father, thank You for uncommon favor for uncommon results in their life, uncommon favor for uncommon results. And we covenant in advance, Lord, to give You the glory, the honor, and the power and dominion for all that You will have done, in Jesus' glorious name, amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for You. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.